You a couple of testimonies. Brother Harry, get ready to sing that verse one more time just in case there's somebody that needs to hear it really, really one more time. Let me read this to you real quickly if I can find it. I've got it here. Just bear with me. Brother Carter Lawson says this: I want to thank the Lord for touching the pinched nerve in my shoulder and arm. I just kept confessing to the Lord that I was healed. And it feels 100% better. Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, he's here. Hallelujah. He's here. Let me read you one more. I've got it here, I promise you. Brother Gene Terrell turned in a request, or actually a testimony. Just bear with me. I'm going to find it. It's worth you hearing. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm just going to tell you about it because I can't find it. I know I've got it, but I can't find it right now. Brother Gene Terrell was suffering really, really bad in his body. And exactly what was wrong with you, Brother Gene? Congestive heart failure, could not walk hardly anywhere without just having to sit down and quit walking. But Brother Darrell Ward here preached Wednesday night, and after prayer was made by Brother Darrell and the saints of God, Brother Gene went to the treadmill. He's walking it like a young man. No tiredness whatsoever. And the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke these words to him. You praise me with all your heart for what I've done for you. Now, you're here this morning. You may not have been sick. You may not have been in trouble. But he has touched your life in various ways. Miracles have taken place in your life. There's people that was drunkards that are sitting right here worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. There's people that will walk the streets, hallelujah, took dope, all kinds of situations. Look what God's done for you. He's placed you here this morning. Let's be like Brother Gene. Let's praise him with all of our heart. All of our heart. Say that verse good this time, buddy.
Oh, Satan said,
hallelujah,
my Lord was gone.
Oh, yes, he does.
And he would not.
He'll never hear you. That's what the old devil says. Oh, we'll just keep confessing.
But I'm going to praise the Lord.
Oh, why don't you just lift your hands to him?
I said, praise the Lord. The work is done for Christ.
Bless you. You can be seated this morning as Brother Daniel gets ready to come take you to the Lord in prayer. Brother Nate and Sister April Painter want us to remember their son Ian in prayer this morning. Very congested, running a fever, so let's remember that child as we pray that the Lord will be mindful of him. Unspoken prayer request, Sister Brenda Jones sends that in. Sister Janet Barron wants us to remember her in traveling mercies as she'll be going to Michigan to visit her son. Be gone for a few days, so let's pray that God would be mindful of her. Sister Nadine Finch says, please remember my sister in prayer. She has cancer and is very sick. Thank you and may God bless. Please remember our friend Pete in prayer. He went back to the hospital this morning, has congestive heart failure. Brother Gary Harris sends that in. This is Brother Gene's testimony. It says, for the past 3 years, I have struggled with congestive heart failure. After Brother Darrell's service on faith before, I went to exercise. I was exhausted, but this week I could walk on the treadmill and I felt wonderful, could breathe really easy. The Lord himself came to me and said, praise him with all that I have. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Sue Sims. She's having terrible pain in her back and she asks for prayer, needs healing in her body. Please continue to remember my wife in prayer. As Brother Joel Moyer sends this in, she needs healing for body and also other needs. Pray for the God's will in the court case concerning their children. So we just commit that to the Lord. Brother Pinky, Sister Phillips says, remember our daughter, Sean. She is real sick and needs a touch from the Lord, both for healing and for salvation. So we just commit that to the Lord this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, how many of you know our God is able? Let's stand together, if you will, as Brother Daniel comes to take us to the Lord. Certainly appreciate what Brother Daniel means to us and what the Lord is doing for Brother Daniel, don't we? Amen, we do. We appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. Brother Louie, want me to say something about the 4th of July? I got a little note here that says, the Battle of Gettysburg, July the 1 through 3 of 1863, resulted in over 51,000 deaths. That's who our people dies in. One battle. The largest number of casualty during the Civil War. And when Abraham Lincoln dedicated the cemetery at Gettysburg, he made a speech. How many of you remember hearing that speech? Amen. When I was, I guess, about the ninth grade in high school, that was the first thing I had to memorize. And my, I didn't think I was going to ever memorize it. But just real quickly, I just like to read you a little bit of it this morning. Abraham Lincoln says, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on the great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here give their lives. And he went on to go down through there to cut out some of it, go torch the lights of it. He said, it's for us the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotions to that cause for which they give the last measure of their devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, but that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth, and that birth of the people, for the people, and by the people, shall not perish from this earth. Amen. You know, this way that we enjoy today, it didn't come easy. Think about that Civil War, all the men dying. What made it so different than all the other wars? It was brothers fighting against brothers. Families against families. That's been a terrible thing. But I'm so glad we got that freedom today. Oh, yes. Amen. That we can come and worship God. Yes. Amen. Let's pray together over these requests. Heavenly Father, once again we bring our prayer requests before you. God, we know there's nobody like you. And Heavenly Father, we know that there's nothing that you can't do. Lord Jesus, we just appreciate you. Praise you so much. God, we pray now that as we bring our petitions and our requests before you today, we pray, God, that you'll move for each need here today, Lord, that you'll stretch forth your hand. God, I pray for those over the internet, whoever they might be, God, that you'll just move for them. We pray for our pastor today, Lord, that you'll move for him. God, I pray that you'll heal our sick, that you'll supply our needs. God, that you'll be with our people. God, we commit this service into your hands. We pray that you'll take complete charge of it, Lord. We'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Make a couple of announcements. We'll sing a song. Sister Lindsay, if you want to come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing this morning. I have two or three announcements that we need to let you know about. This is from the Vaughn family and the Newsom family. We would like to say thank you to everyone who helped make Brother Derek and Sister Hadessa's wedding so special. For those who helped in setting up, cleaning up, or participating as a guest, There's not enough words to tell you how much you are appreciated. Everything was perfect. We love you all. That was a sweet little wedding, wasn't it? I just really enjoyed that myself. Also, if you plan to attend the wedding reception of Sister Allison and Brother Mark, Allison Ward and Mark McNulty on July the 20th, please go to the library, sign up on the sheet that they have available for you over there if you're planning on going to that wedding reception on July the 20th. I want to welcome to the service today Brother Robert McGarry family from Arizona, and also the Roncalli family from Louisiana. Let's give them all a nice hand this morning. And I understand some of the McGarrys, I don't know how they put that together, but if they'll come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing, they'll sing after Sister Lindsay. But let's just do a little chorus just before she sings this morning. We sang it last night, but I like it a lot, and I know you do too. And, well, I just believe it's the truth. Our God reigns, doesn't he? Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him he does reign. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. You can be seated this morning. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing.
Dusty window for your light to shine through. Why am I just a tiny star in a sky already blue? Why do I offer everything with my heart closed like a fist? I wanna love you better than this. Why do I live like I'm in chains when you have set me free? Why do I have to break your heart before I fall to my knees? I know it's time to pray for change and give all I have to give. I want to love you better than this. So empty spaces of my broken place. my first and last resort. Be the river always running through my deepest thoughts. Keep me in your arms, 'cause even when I drift, I wanna love you better than this. So renew me, remake me, undo me, unbreak me. Come into the empty spaces of my broken places and consume me, complete me, pursue me, redeem me. Let your Holy Spirit live through me. Renew me, oh, renew me, Lord. My life bending to your will, seeking you until I'm more and more like you. So renew me, remake me, undo me, unbreak me. Come into the empty spaces of my broken places and consume me, complete me, pursue me, redeem me. Let your Holy Spirit live through me. Renew me, oh, renew me, Lord. I need you to, I need you to renew me.
Amen. God bless you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Thankful for the Lord's mercies. They're new every morning. Amen. May the Lord bless you and bless us as we sing to you today.
I was hopeless. I knew I was lost. Death and darkness were my only song. I needed someone to come rescue me. Then mercy heard my plea.
Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. You gave me a real love, thank you Jesus. You washed my sins away. Now I am living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me.
You gave me beauty for my guilty stains. And now I'm living day to day by your grace.
Excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved.
Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. You gave me a real love, thank you Jesus. You washed my sins away. Now I am living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. Every morning, mercy will restore me. Jesus, you washed my sins away. Now I am living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me.
Your mercy set me free.
That's what your mercy did for
Lord,
me.
Lord, we thank you for that mercy today.
That's what your mercy did for me.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. God bless you.
Praise the Lord for his mercy.
Amen.
Let's stand together today if you would. What a privilege it is to be a recipient of the mercy of the Lord Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
Not just enough mercy to save you, though. Enough mercy to change you. To make you be a new creature, what he desires you to be. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Certainly appreciated the word last night.
Amen.
Amen. I always enjoy being in the presence of God with the saints of God. I wanted to mention something, a little something to you. I'd listened to a sermon that Brother Tim Pruitt had preached a few weeks ago, and I was really blessed by it. And I think it was around June the 10th, maybe, something like that. And he was dealing with many issues that are going on in our day and around the message and all, coming back to our homeland, the Bible. And I just so appreciated it and thought it was really good. And I just wanted to recommend to you, if you want to listen to that sometime, I think you'll be blessed. He gets tough, so be ready for that. I know y'all are used to a Boy Scout pastor here, so hard preaching would be tough on you. So I just want to mention that to you. I enjoyed the things that Brother Tim had to say. It's sad that preachers have to deal with a lot of error, a lot of things that are in our day, but it's always been. Ever since the gospel has been spoken, Satan tries to come in and twist that and, you know, tangle it up, confuse it in the minds of the people of God. But thank God for men who are willing to deal with issues whenever they have to be dealt with. Amen. So appreciate that. Let's read today, if you would, again, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. I want to speak to you again today on little foxes. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is coming. Now remember, this is her speaking to him. So she sees him as who he is and calls him her dove. He's in the clefts of the rock, which is the secret places. Also in the secret places of the stairs, she sees the ascension, the condescension, and the ascension of his personage revealed in the stairs. And she hears his voice. She identifies his voice as being sweet, and his countenance is comely. And then she's the one who says this, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Now, by now, this is still chapter 2, so the relationship is quite young. She's certainly not matured into it yet, but she's still identifying that there are tender grapes that have not come to the state of maturity yet. But she feels the need to be able to look at that and take a warning. So she says, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bezer. So here she's inviting him to come and partake of her. This is what the symbols of this verse means. So she's entered into a place to where she knows her relationship has now grown from the initial stages of introduction. And she recognizes her position is that she is his and he is hers. But she also knows there's things that can come in to try to erode that position. Behooves us as the people of God, does it not, to be able to listen to that. When Brother Branham dealt with Samson and the different titles that he gave it, just once more and once more, Lord, and all that, he made some very wonderful statements in there about you must destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. Samson, we know that he was a great epitome of a sad heart. And Brother Branham likened it to the Church of Pentecost. But we know that that type does not just end at Pentecost. It can certainly affect us the same way. Right. We'd like to pray today, and I'd like to mention to you Brother Mike Order's wife. I've received a text from Brother Joe Green earlier this morning, and she's still in the hospital, and they're still waiting till she wakes up, I guess, before that they can do some of this procedure. They're afraid if they go in and try to do some of that, it'll move straight to her brain and kill her. So she certainly still needs our prayer today that God will just be with her. How many of you have a need or request on your heart today? All right, let's take it to the throne of the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We're so grateful that we can be assembled here today on this resurrection morning. How we love you for coming to the earth and raising, Father, from the dead and quickening us, Lord Jesus, that we could be in your very image. We approach you today, Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts. And Lord, we want to bring our sister Orders again, Father, and call her name before you. You see there, Lord, these blood clots in this place at the base of her brain, and the doctors are real precautious about even doing anything, afraid they will make it worse, and they're waiting for her to wake up. So we pray, Father, that you'd move for our sister, Lord. May the presence of God just reach down in that hospital room where she is, Lord, and touch her. The needs of the people that was signified by the lifting of a hand today, I pray, Lord, that you administer to the needs of your people. Dear God, we believe that all of our needs placed together, if tens of millions of people around the earth were calling on your name at one time, you would be able to hear each one, answer each one according to your greatness. That's how great you are. But you're so great that those numbers do not confuse you to where that we still remain an individual in your presence. And that's one of the reasons we love you so much. Speak to us today from your word, Father. Change us, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the saint said, God bless you. You may be seated. For the visitors with us today, we've been doing a little fox hunting around Happy Valley here. We've been looking at a few foxes that the devil tries to bring against us as the people of God. And they would vary according to our own personalities and our needs, of course, the types of things that Satan would try to use against us. Many things we share in common, yet there are many things that make us different one from the other, according to our makeup, according to our past, according to the scars that we bring into our new births. Each one of us have things that we would have to deal with. We'd tell our burdens to others, and they'd laugh at us and say, really? That's what you go through? And then they would tell us theirs, and we'd say, and you call that big? So yeah, as we kind of go back and forth to each other, but the Lord is able to look at all of our issues and be able to help all of us at one time. That's what makes him so great and so wonderful. So I'm sure that as I look at some of these things, probably some of them, some of you won't be able to relate to, maybe never bother you. You'd never even think about it. But there'll be some that probably with most of us, there would be a commonality among all of us that we would be identified with some things. I feel like probably the one we'll start off with today, most of us have been able to identify with it. It's not something that kind of comes and you deal with it one time and then it never bothers baptize you again, but it kind of comes and goes. It's a type of thing that Satan has found an avenue, an inroad, as it was, into the lives of many, many people. It's the fox of discouragement. He's a simple little guy. He's not very big at all. He's not wolf size. He's not elephant size. He doesn't look like a mighty lion. He does not roar and the crickets and everything of the night hold their peace. He's just a little bitty old fellow that starts out so tiny, and he can come by your spirit just being somewhat worn and weary. And, you know, if you're like I am, like most of us human beings are, when we get to that place to where we're tired and weary, whether it's physically or whether it's mentally or just the things of life itself, it seems to be that the discouragement can come so much more easy than when we're on the mountaintop and things are going well. Satan has learned with each of us how our makeup is and what to do in order to bring us to this type of a spot. How many has ever experienced discouragement? Oh, I'm sure most all of us have. And it's the type of thing that you go through in life and you get discouraged about certain things and you get over that, and then you'll go good for a while, and then you'll become discouraged about something else. Probably for many of you never been discouraged to a spot to where you ever felt like giving up on God, because a lot of your discouragement comes from people. People are a great source of discouragement. They can be the very ones that you look at, people you go to church with, people that you look up to, people that you have respect for, people even in your own family. And they can be a means that can cause a great, great portion of our discouragement in life. Is this true? And Satan knows all that, so he will use it. Sometimes it can be your closest friend. It can be people that you worship with in the house of God. It can be your children. It can be your wife. It can be your husband. It can be just about anybody with a name or a face that Satan will try to use. But most generally, it will not be a person that will not get to you, but it will be a person that will have somewhat of an effect upon your life. Now, we'll look at several examples here today. I'll try to diversify them by the grace of the Lord, in order for you to be able to see how that Satan diversifies his tactics in bringing them against the people of God. Now, things that might discourage me, you'd look at it and think, my goodness, Brother Donnie, I can't believe that you would even give that the time of day. But yet, I listen there in that office at the things that discourage you, and I say, I can't even believe you give that the time of day. So you see, God understands all of our discouragement, and He takes all of it to His heart and treats each case as if so it were His only one to deal with that very day. Amen. I love that about Him. And He has the ability of not saying, well, yours is nothing compared to Donnie's, or yours is nothing compared to this sister or that sister. But He listens with such intensity and such desire to be able to help each of us, because to us, it is a very great thing. Now, I could share things with you that people have called me in the wee hours of the morning and got me up out of the bed about. I could share things with you that people have called Brother J.D. and said it was so urgent, they absolutely had to talk with me, and when they sat in my office and talked with me, I cannot even believe they used the word urgent. But apparently to them, they deemed it was urgent. So you know what? No matter how insignificant I think that it is, how insignificant that it sounds to me, I try to treat it as if so it was very urgent, because apparently it was important enough for them to request an interview and a need. And yet we know that God is the only one that can look at a person's heart, and I say that so that you would be able to relate to one another, that we would hear one another's burdens and trials and would say, my goodness, that is no important, but to that person that's selling it, it could be so important to them, it's about to devastate them. So the things that would bother you, and some of the examples that I may read today, you'll read them and say, why in the world would that even bother anybody? Why would that even get to them? But to some people, it would be an insurmountable type of situation. Something that they would look at and face in their life, and they say, I don't know what I'm going to do. And yet you hear it and you say, I wish that's all I had to deal with. But if you had their makeup, it's just as major as your problem is with your makeup.
And that's the thing that I found, that we as human beings, we hear other things that people are going through, and we know the trials and things we're going through, and if we're not careful, we will kind of laugh, or out of sarcasm, we'll so belittle it, and we lose that sensitivity. You know, you may think that's not valuable, and it's important, but I think everyone's needs, we should value them, whether they come to that value of to us or not. It's a great value to them. And that's the way our high priest deals with each of us. Can you imagine my burdens compared to Brother Branham's? Can you imagine my burdens in my little tiny ministry compared to some of the great men around the message around the world? Well, mine would look like somebody taking some toys and some dominoes, and out, and they run into this great issue that they can't tie this domino over with this wall. And they take these blocks and they're trying to build a tinker toy, and they can't find this one part. And I'm just sweating and laboring, and you know, I'm looking for a gun just to blow my toe off or something. Somewhere to get some relief. And somebody else hears it and think, really? This is your toy life? This is what you go through, Donnie Reagan? I wish I had your burdens. And I think, I wish you did too. But to me, they're pretty major. Now, other men would hear it and they say, my goodness, that is nothing. But there again, the Lord Jesus is able to hear mine, and he's so sensitive and he's so delicate, and he listens as if though it is the end of the world. Because in all reality, what I'm going through, if I don't get some help, it may be the end of my world. So he has the way and the ability to be able to listen to it, and as our high priest minister to every one of us in our needs. I know sometimes some of you may sit here and you listen to the things that I would preach and others would preach, and you're sitting there comparing yourself. Oh, many of you won't make that move because you're afraid I'll see you move your head. But yet you'll sit there and in your mind you're thinking, you've got to be kidding me. There's people in our church going through that. I thought we'd be way beyond that. I thought we'd be way deeper than that. But I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus is mindful of us, that he's mindful of people that are going through things that maybe some of you would scoff at or say, you got to be kidding, somebody in our church is still going through that. I'm glad the Lord don't have preachers to preach according to our thoughts, because there'd be a lot of needs that would be missed if we went just by what the preacher thought, even by what you thought. But I trust that we're mature enough in the Word till we realize the Holy Ghost wants to be able to use a man and take him down the avenues of people's lives, no matter how simple they may seem to me and you. But yet God knows the difficulty that we all go through and the struggles that we deal with. And discouragement can be one of the most devastating things. I know it's nothing compared to cigarettes. It's nothing compared to maybe drinking. It's nothing compared to a lot of horrible sins that we could be identified with. But I would imagine that without taking a poll upon it, that we would be absolutely overwhelmed if we knew how many folks have lost their joy in God, not because they started smoking another time or they started picking up bad habits that they had in the world, but they just become discouraged with life. And they become discouraged with where they are in their journey. And they become discouraged with church. They just become discouraged. You know, they come and they don't get what they feel like they need. And they're struggling and they're going through a hard time in life. And you know as well as I do, when Satan sees that we are discouraged, he seems to pour it on us more than any other time in our life. And the thing that would seem so small when we're doing really good, when we're in the state of discouragement, seems like a dump truck on our back. And we're thinking, what's the matter with me? That shouldn't bother me. No, I agree with you. It shouldn't bother you if you wasn't in the state of discouragement already. But when you're already discouraged about whatever more it can, maybe if you feel like you're a failure in your life and you've not been successful in life, you've not been a successful Christian or a successful mom or a successful dad, whatever it is. And each of these things begin to add up. And Satan knows how to add, my brother, sister. He knows how to bring you and I to a spot to where we're saying, what's the use in even trying? It seems like the harder I try, the worse things get. And the more I try to commit myself to God, the worse I get, why should I even try? And you know, he's always there. If I was you, I'd just quit. If I was you, I wouldn't try to sing no more. If I was you, I wouldn't try to preach. I wouldn't try to go to church. Nobody knows whether you're not or whether you're even there or not. They don't even know. Did you notice when you sing, they don't clap near as much as when somebody else sings? And you know, whenever you preach, you don't get near as many emails and texts as Brother Darrell does or whoever does. He knows exactly how to discourage us. Now, this is a little bitty fox, and he starts out very sensitive and very gentle. He's not going to reach up and grab a whole cluster of grapes at one time, but he's going to try little by little to bring you in that spot. It can be an accumulative work that takes place over weeks or months, to where that little by little you start becoming discouraged. First of all, it may be on your job. Secondly, it could be in your marriage. Thirdly, it could be in your relationship with your children. It could be with a friend at church. It could be so many things that accumulate together. This is why whenever people go to sit down and talk to a pastor, that many times I have a hard time telling them exactly the thing that is going on. Because it's not one particular thing, it's actually several small things that are accumulated together, but those several small things will make one gigantic load on a very discouraged heart. And yet they'll sit and say, well, it's this, and yet it's that, but I don't know exactly what it is. Well, when I hear that, I know exactly what it is, because it's the devil's an accumulative pattern that is building up on their lives. And they really can't point it back and say, well, it's this one major thing, because it's not one major thing. It's a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of that. And you mix it all up together in a big old pot, and what do you got? A little fox of discouragement. And then the more you become discouraged, the easier it is to become more discouraged. Well, praise the Lord. So I'd say we'll drag out our shotguns this morning. What do you say? And let's go fox hunting on this little fox of discouragement. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you this morning and open my heart to you, if that's all right. This is a fox that I have to fight myself, because I get discouraged as a preacher. I get discouraged as a pastor. You try to study, you try to pray, you try to do your best and give your best to people. And the harder you preach, the farther some people get away from the truth. And the more you try to give, now if I had spent 10 or 15 minutes preparing a Saturday night and a Sunday morning sermon and a Wednesday night sermon, half of you didn't show up, you know, I say, well, you know what, I didn't take but 10 minutes doing it, so there ain't no big loss. But whenever I spend weeks, there's no way for you to know how much time that I put into one sermon. Amen. Some of you don't even care enough to even show your face when I preach it. That's pretty discouraging. Well, praise the Lord. That's right. So sisters, how would you feel? You spend 3 or 4 hours cooking your family's favorite meal. You labor, you work. You had to go to the grocery store. You forgot something. You had to go back. I mean, you just go all the preparation, and come supper time and you sit down. This one, I don't like that. Mama, you know I don't like that. And then they fuss and they fight and they argue. That really encourages you, right? Now, come on, sisters. You know better than that. That encourages you, right? It makes you want to fix the same thing again tomorrow night and the next night? Or does it make you want to give them a bologna sandwich for the next week? There's been many a times I've wanted to serve you bologna on Wednesday night, salami on Saturday night, liver loaf on Sunday morning. Why? Because I run out of things to preach? No. Because some folks don't care. They don't care if you spend weeks on it. They don't care if you look 1,000 quotes. Do you understand, friends? I have spent time looking at over 7,000 quotes in one study. Can you imagine how long that takes? But people's too busy to come to church. So they go here, they go there, they do whatever they want to do. Because church don't matter. You can come to church anytime. Well, you might come to church anytime, but it don't mean that you'll come to the bride church anytime. Because one day, the bride is going to be gone. And I'm afraid some folks who visit this church from time to time are going to decide they want to go to church on Sunday morning, except I won't be here. and some more here who love God and obey the word and apply this word to their lives, they won't be here either. And then you decide you'll come back Wednesday night, and then you'll come back next Saturday night, and you know what? I won't be here again, or again, or again. I'll be gone. And my effort will have paid off. So what I have to do as a pastor, I have to keep encouraging myself and knowing my God does not give me inspiration for not a, a purpose and a reason. So I keep preaching. If half of you are here, half of you are gone, you know as well as I do, I preach the same. If I walk out and a third of the people's here, two-thirds is gone, I refuse to allow you to dictate to me how I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey God if I preach to 5 or 5,000. I preach over 5,000 people at one time. I give no more to those 5,000 than whenever I stand and preach to 20 or 30 as I stood a few weeks ago. And it makes no difference to me, because I'm going to stand before God for every sermon that I preach, and I want Him to look at me and say, "You did your best." Praise the Lord. Now that should not only be the preacher's desire, that should be every person's desire. That should be what you want every service you come to, that you want the Lord Jesus to say, "You did your best Sunday morning." Only half of them was pulling. Only a third of them, you know, was really interested in what was going on. But you did your best on Wednesday night. You did your best on Saturday night. You did your best on Sunday morning. It might not have been easy, but you found there was a way you could encourage yourself in the Lord. Now let's read, if you would, Numbers chapter 21, verse 1. This is the children of Israel on their journey now to the promised land. This is just the beginning. It hasn't been very far in the stage. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. Wow. So they're in the journey of the Lord. They are now following a prophet of God's message, and he's still there with them. And they break into one of the first battles after leaving Egypt. And now they're already losing somewhat, as it would seem like. So this man, actually a Canaanite, takes some of the chosen people of God as prisoners. Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, "If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities." And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered the Canaanites. They utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of that place Hormah, which is vow or oath or sworn to. So the name of the place now changes name from the king Arad to Hormah, which was an identification of their promise. Notice in verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor. Now Mount Hor, of course, is years later where Aaron is going to die. Now they come into a very desolate part of the children of Israel. And if you've been there, you know how it is. As I was there a month or so ago, a couple of months ago, standing there, and you see the southern part as they would come in, and you see the vastness of that place. You see the barrenness of it. You see the sand, the rocks, and you see how barren that some of it was. And yet you go up to Judea and you see the hill country there. You go to Galilee and you see the grassland, the pastures, and you think, what a difficult situation it must have been for Joshua whenever he, by the Holy Ghost, would have placed some people in the southern part of the land of Israel, which there wasn't hardly any fertility there. It was a wilderness land, a land that was dry, and yet God would tell this man, "This is your inheritance and yours and yours." And he gives your cousin or your neighbor, whoever more, gives them the land of Galilee. It has grass this tall, has trees everywhere, and yet they get that land, and God is no respect of person. And yet you live in a land where you have to struggle to even produce crops. You live in a land where every day is a battle, and yet every bit of it is the promised land. And other people live in a place to where that it's bumper crop after bumper crop in the very same country. Oh, y'all didn't know the land of Israel was that way? Well, it is. And it wasn't just after years of transgression of the children of Israel. It was this way whenever they came into it. Now, when they come up to Mount Hor, they're going through the place of the wilderness. Now, this is going to be part of the future inheritance. Notice this. To compass, now they're coming over the land of Edom, which is Esau. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Carol and I stood there, as I said, in Israel, maybe standing there at the wilderness of Zin. And when you look there, there's a rampart that's built up kind of high. And you're looking across through there. As far as you can see, from the left to the right, there's just mountains and ravines and hardly any green plants, hardly any green living thing at all. And there these people came through part of this place. Remember reading in the Old Testament of the wilderness of Zin, Z-I-N. And this is where they complained and they grumbled. Humanly, you can look at it and see why, that they would think, this is a land flowing with milk and honey? This is a land that God promised our fathers. It looks no different than Egypt, only they got bigger rocks. Now notice what happens to the people when they come to this. They compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was discouraged because of the way, or the journey, or the attributes by which they're being led from point A to point B. So now the people are in this way, following the direction of a prophet of God, and they are becoming very discouraged. Not because there was Canaanites there, they knew that, but because of the way. Oh my, how many folks have become discouraged because of this way that God has chosen us to be in? Aren't you glad you're encouraged in the way today? Now, it was the way, then, the journey that they were going under the direction of this prophet, and it seemed like to them that the credibility and the ability of this man's direction was really messed up. And this is the guy that's going to lead us to the land flowing with milk and honey. And we went from one wilderness to another. We went from one barren spot to another. And this is a prophet? Well, he may be able to see visions, but he sure ain't got much GPS built in. Oh, no, he did. It was God's provided system. That's GPS. Right. Now, God has a reason for leading the people through this dry, barren, desolate way. Just like he does when he leads you and I. Now watch what happens whenever we come to the despairs of discouragement. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. Now this light bread wasn't rainbow. It wasn't something they went to Walmart and bought. It was angel's food. The word light means contemptible and worthless. People eating angel's food and calling that angel's food worthless, contemptible, of no value. Well, it's about like a lot of those that's leaving the seventh angel's food. Calling food from the seventh angel message and saying it's worthless, it's vile, it's no good. Well, speak for yourself. Amen. It's making us rapture ready. Now, notice what the despair of heavy discouragement can do. Now, remember, there's some good people amongst this. There's also the mixed multitude, of course. And many of them are not ordained to go into the inheritance, but there are some that are there. And they become so discouraged because of the way itself, they go to murmuring. And they go to saying things that no doubt some of them later repented and said, God, what in the world did I say that for? Now, I'm sure that there's not many people here that's ever been that, but I'll use myself for an example. And sometimes when I get discouraged, I go to talking foolish. Lord, I ain't going to preach no more. I'm going to be a plumber. I hate plumbing. I'm going to be a painter. I hate painting. Well, sometimes I don't like being a preacher. Now, those who want to be one that ain't called, they're absolutely totally insane. But you get discouraged. God, why do you call me to preach? God, why didn't you leave me alone? I like being a Kentucky hillbilly. If you'd have left me alone, I might have still been down there. Nobody knowed me. People quit shooting at me. Praise the Lord. You know what that is? Foolish talk. Now, as I said, I realize I'm the only one that's ever done this, so the Lord probably had me study all this time just for me, so I could preach to me today. And y'all just happen to be the guests to hear me get my hide burned, okay? Now, it's I know that beyond shadow of a doubt that each of you in your spot, in your walk with God, have said similar things. And you think, what in the world made me say that? You're discouraged because of the way. And this little fox begins to nibble on the very tender part of the vine. And then he'll work his way up and get up to the young grapes, that which God is developing in your lives. And he will continue until he annihilates your walk with God, unless you drag out your double barrel shotgun. Oh, praise the Lord. Now notice where the people are. So now they're already blasting God. They're blasting the prophet. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Because they all started drinking? Because they all started smoking? They all started dipping and chewing? They all started watching R-rated movies? They all got discouraged and started running off in their mouths. Now look how vile that this can be and how devastating it can be if you don't get it under control. Can I go on? Watch. Numbers again, chapter 32, verse 6, different setting. This is Reuben and Gad, half tribe of Manasseh, as they ask for land on the other side of Jordan. Now remember, this is a great, beautiful land. We stood there also recently on our trip, standing on this side of Jordan, standing right there on the other side, looking to where it's at. And a beautiful place of date palms and all that. And they had much cattle. So to them, it looked like an ideal situation. Yet they never broke the seal to come across the river so they would be identified on the other side. Now Moses knows this, that these people, because they're going to strike a compromising position. Now listen to me. He knows that if one member of the church begins to strike a compromising position on the other side of Jordan, maybe it's doing something, maybe it's dressing a certain way or living a certain way, that influence can start influencing those who are actually going to go ahead and cross to the other side. Praise God. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord God giveth them? Now they had come to this spot and said, hey, you know what? We found what we want. We really don't want to go on with the message. We don't think it's that necessary. We believe Brother Donnie and a lot of other brothers are good men, but they really emphasize clothes too much. And you know, this and that and other. We don't think it's necessary. He's a good man, no doubt. He loves the Lord, but he's just a little far-fetched. You know, he's just a simple sort of a guy. You can tell by talking to him, he's a simpleton, doesn't know very much, and he's not educated. Well, I agree with all the above, except I'm inspired by the Holy Ghost, and I'm saying what the Word says, which you conveniently left out. But now, notice that Moses sees this as a great tool by which Satan will try to use not people out yonder, not Canaanites, not Jebusites, but people of their own message following the same prophet who just refused to go all the way. Because after all, if the deacon's daughter does it, it's okay. If so-and-so does it in the church, then it's okay. Now don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. How many times have you parents had things that throwed up to you? I want to go so-and-so and I'm going to do so-and-so. No, we don't do that in this house. Well, so-and-so goes to our church and they let their kids do it. Preach, Mother Donnie! Now, if you want to take your chances following so-and-so, you go ahead. For me and my house, we're going to follow the Word. I know it's tough. I realize it. I know that it is when people sit in the same church and people have total different standards, and some people have no standard whatsoever. They do whatever they want to do, live any way they want to live, let their kids do, say, dress however they want to, and yet they claim to believe the message of the hour. And you come to the same house, call me the same pastor, call Brother Branham, all of you, call him your prophet, and you sort and slice and dice what you want, cut in, cut out. Woo! Praise the Lord. Boy, the Lord's burning me up this morning, ain't he? Man. Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord God hath given them. Now you say, this is your land. You're not crossing death, Jordan. Well, if that's what you want, so be it. But that's not who we are, he said. We're going over Jordan. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord God had given them. How did they do it? By saying the land is full of giants. The land is full. The Bible never said it was full of giants. They lied. They said, there we saw the sons of Anak and the giants there. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. The walls reached to heaven. Liars. To hear them tell it when they got back, there's giants everywhere. The walls is plumb up to the heavens. There wasn't but five giants. You see, when David reached down in that brook, as I stood down in there a little while back, and picks up some stones out of that brook, David wasn't just picking one up for Goliath. But symbolism reflects a real leader. So he picks up five. All five brothers is going to be killed too. Just go ahead and take care of the whole lot of them. Right. But to hear these cowards tell, and their word had such impact on the children of Israel. By night, you imagine one said, somebody told me there's 500 of them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What time it got from Aunt Susie Bell over to Aunt Susie Lou. She's hardly hearing anyway. Why do you say 5,000, oh God, 5,000 giants. No, ain't suitable. It didn't say 5,000. I thought he said 50,000. Lord, have mercy. Pre-Facebook. Same effects. So what did Satan use? Men who went into the message and looked into the message and come back out and said, there's no way we can do this. Why, if we preach this, we won't have nobody left. Saul looked at Goliath of Gath and said, Lord, have mercy. Whew. Look at them eyeballs. You imagine with a head the size of a tub. That's what the prophet said he was. His hair the size of a tub. Have big old eyeballs about that big. When he'd bat his eyes real fast, it'd be like a 19-inch box fan. Had his own built-in air conditioner. Saw him the rest of him and said, oh, God. But David looked at him and said, Lord, have mercy. With a head that big, how could you miss him? He was kin to Caleb, you see. When Caleb looked over at him, oh my, when Caleb heard that report, here was all of his brothers said, wait a minute, we're more than able. Let's go out and do it right now. Let's go up right now. We're more than able to take this thing. What was he doing? The opposite of discouragement is what? Encouragement. But the discouragers outnumbered the encouragers. Now let me warn you before it happens. As we go on in time, the voices of discouragement will become greater in our own ranks in this message, then will the voices of encouragement maintain their godly, steady stern toward eternity. And they will discourage the hearts of many along the way. And they'll go to this website, and they'll go here and go there and do this and that and the other. And before long, I didn't want to follow it no more. But there'll still be some Caleb saying, let's go. Let's go. Let's take the land. We're more than able. So the little fox just nibbles. Nibbles. They took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it's a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents. They knew better than to say much in church. They had enough fear of God left about him as Fred touched that anointed servant of God, you know, when he was under the anointing. So they wait to get into their car and head down the road to McDonald's. Well, what did you think about today? I never heard such in my life. What did you think about it? I thought, and here's these young ones sitting behind you. All ears. Whew. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us. What? Because the Lord hated us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. Where did this come from? Discouragement. Surely you understand, my friends, why this is so dangerous. A discouraged heart can hear the promise of God and totally change it in their mind. Never have people had seen the hand of God like these people. Never have people, Brother Terry, had been so loved and provided for. How did they turn that into hate? Discouragement. Verse 28, whither shall you go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. God, strike me dead. Kill me. End my life before I'd ever become a discouragement to the elect of God. Let me be an encouragement. Let me be a man who can lift up people's spirits when they're down. Never let me go this way. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people is greater and taller than we. But you see, a discouraged heart coupled with fear brings magnification of the negative circumstances. And them thinking in their mind, if they said there's 1,000, they're probably saying lightly. That probably means there's 5,000 or who knows, 10,000. Oh God, there's 50,000. They said the land eats up the inhabitants thereof. Would you please keep your story straight? The land eats up the inhabitants thereof means there's no food. It means the land is so poor that they're all on starvation. Boy, if they raised big giants on flat starvation, what would they do in good ground? Their message was full of lies and so confusing, but yet it had such power, anointed by demons of discouragement. Oh, hallelujah! The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Wow. And no doubt each person that told it expanded another 6 foot. And moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid. What's he doing? The opposite of discouragement. Encouragement. The Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. He's reminding of the things that God has already done. Isn't it amazing how easily we forget them? But they were so discouraged. But God said there was another man who had another spirit in him. His name was Dog. Caleb. The son of Jephunneh. The Kenizzite. Of the inheritance of Esau. The scripture says that Caleb was given a portion among the children of Judah. He wasn't born there, but he was given a portion there. That's a good place for a converted Gentile to put him in the praise tribe. Because a real converted Gentile knows he was born without the commonwealth of Israel. He was a dog. He was not worthy of the mercy of God. He's going to do a lot of hollering. He's going to do a lot of shouting. So you better not place him in Benjamin. You better not place him in Naphtali. You better place him in the tribe of Judah. Because he's going to clap his hands. He's going to worship God. He's going to thank God for his mercy to him as a Gentile dog. What is that I hear? Y'all hear it? That's a peculiar sound. What is that? Oh, they say, don't worry about this old Uncle Caleb. He's sharpening his sword. Man, they told me when they first come across the river over, he had a sword about 4 foot long. He sharpened that dude down now, it's about 2 foot. But you want to hear a sermon, you better not go over to his sins. He said, what do you do? He said, glory to God, I'll tell you one thing. Hallelujah. I've got just as much faith in the promise of God today as I had when I was a young man. I'm going over into the land. Are you going over with me? Or are you going to sit there and let the devil rob you of your inheritance? Woo! You imagine him, his dreams at night. Nobody wanted to sleep next to him. They all wanted distance from him. They said, what in the world? Is them nightmares? Them ain't nightmares. He's eating them grapes. Oh, glory to God. He remembered that land. The word of God said he's going to get it. He's going back. So you've got hundreds of thousands of your brothers that are saying, you can't go, it can't be done, we might as well forget it. But Caleb and Joshua said, we're more than able. All the main message conventions was all negativism.
We can't go, oh God, we can't do it, we might as well get us a captain and go back to the land. Oh Lord, have mercy, there ain't no way. Caleb said, are y'all crazy?
Who encouraged him? Somebody tell me. Where did he get all that encouragement? The Bible says he had another spirit in him. God said he has followed me wholly with all of his heart. God give you a book of 66 books in it called the Bible. God give you over 1,100 sermons. God has given you some of the best ministry that's ever stood on the earth in the last day that have stood behind this pulpit and preached to you as far as pastors and visiting ministers. You've got websites that you can go to of some of the best men of God that's alive today.
And you're still not sure if you can make it.
I see my most faithful member is here today. Well, let me just preach on him a bit. My most faithful member here in Happy Valley is the devil. I don't know how he does it, but he follows me everywhere I go. He ain't just here. You know, other places I preach. I call him a liar to his face.
I tell him as a father of lies. I tell him he had a day started and a day he's going to end. I tell him he's defeated. I tell him that Jesus broke his back on Calvary. I call him every name I'm thinking of without cussing. I don't believe a preacher ought to do that, do you? I read to him occasionally from time to time and read his end in the back of the book. And I let him know he's defeated.
And he still comes back to church every Wednesday, every Saturday, and every Sunday. He knows I'm going to burn him up. He knows that I'm going to tear him limb to limb. I call him a liar to his face, behind his back, in his ear, in his toe. Everywhere I can call him, I tell him. Don't discourage him one bit. He comes right back in there and smiles like a possum eating blueberries. He's right there. It don't make no difference what I say. It makes no difference. Come on, church. Tell me, how in the world can a devil be so determined when he can read in the back of the book and find his end? You read in the back of the book and find yours, and it takes everything in the world to keep you going from week to week. Dear Jesus, I thought when I got older I'd get softer. I believe I'm getting harder. Lord have mercy, I'm going to have to go to preacher school, I think. My old age to learn some pulpit manners. 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 9. Let's change the setting. We find one of God's greatest men, Elijah the prophet, stood for the truth, killed Jezebel's prophets with a sword, called fire out of heaven and called rain down behind that. But that the anointing left him. He went into a nervous breakdown. 1 Kings picks him up. Hither he came into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left. Now is this true? God corrects the prophet's error whenever he tells him, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. So everything's prophets say isn't thus saith the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I felt a cold wave. That's all right. I'm sweating bum down my back. I needed it. That's right. God corrected the prophet. He wasn't the only one left. But what was it? He was so discouraged. He felt like there ain't nobody living right. That spirit hangs around this message. That's why it's so easy for preachers to get to a spot they think they're the only ones right. And their church is the only ones right. And Satan will keep you narrowing it down, narrowing it down, narrowing it down, till it'll be you and your wife. Then you'll get to a spot you go to wondering about her. Don't worry, she's worrying about you too. There's a great danger in that, my friends. We want to put everybody out. This is what Elijah done as a man trying to make himself something. In all reality, no doubt he felt it was true. There ain't nobody left. He was so discouraged. God said, take courage. It was discouraging to him thinking nobody else was left. God encouraged him by quoting to him an overwhelming number of believers. Why didn't God quote him the word? He was the word made flesh in those human beings. I have got 7,000. That was God's word, Harry, made manifest in human beings. And that encouraged the prophet of God to realize, I've got to keep on preaching. I've got to keep on going. There is people out there believing. There is people out there that's listening to what I've got to say. I'm not the only one. I'm not. There's children of Israel that love God. Can I go on a bit? Notice this in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Now, this is to you fathers. Paul writing to the fathers and said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Lest by your continual finding fault with them. That thing, why should I try? You understand it's the same with a minister, that a minister can preach in such a corrective way all the time, he so discourages the congregation. So I always try my best to be balanced. I take the sword the first 55 minutes and pour in oil the last five. Five and five. I have a little common thing that I tell. Carol and I go to TJ Maxx, and she buys a lot of clothes and whatever more over through the years. So there's a lady who used to work there as a manager. We went in there a few times, and the lady said, "Don't you ever get nothing?" So she's buying clothes for her and for the girls and this and that. It seems all girl stuff. She said, "Don't you ever get nothing?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Me and her made an agreement, you know, 42 years ago, whatever it was then, whenever we got married, everything was going to be 50-50. 50 cents for me, $50 for her." Now, sisters, don't you quote that on your husband going to TJ Maxx this evening. There's a way by which we can correct, but correct encouragingly. So apparently, isn't it amazing that Paul here writing this didn't say it to the mothers, but more address the fathers, looking at the feminist makeup and the feminist spirit and the feminist attitude, saying that for the most part, it would be the men which would become more harsh sometimes, more difficult, and so push it upon the young men that it could cause them to become discouraged. Well, praise the Lord. Lest by continually finding fault that they think there's no need for me to even try. I can't please Daddy. No matter what I do, he always finds fault. I pick up this and do this, but you left that. So instead of being grateful for the 92 things you picked up, he picks the 8 that you didn't. Well, I'm going to preach. You see, children should not be flattered. They should be praised. There's a great difference in flattery. Those who flatter their children will make them grow up on an habitual diet of flattery. So then they will start doing good things, not for the sake of doing good things, but for the sake of doing good things with the rewards of more flattery. Because what human being don't like to be flattered? Because we're still vain. Now come on, Happy Valley, don't sit there and look at me so spiritual. Can I go on? I ain't smelt that funny smell that I smell sometimes when I go to barbecuing yet, so I've got a little bit more time. Either that or y'all are getting so charred that you... I was fixing some chicken at the house the other day on the back porch, and Carol came out and said, "That's getting too hot." I said, "Hey, no." She said, "I smell it." So maybe my senses are getting a little desensitized to where I can't hardly smell it when y'all are. Notice this. The prophet said, sometimes some of your own household will be the one that will discourage you first when you're claiming God's promise for yourself. So you get devastating news from the doctor. Well, we should be the kind of family that whenever we get that, if it's the husband that gets it, the wife, the children, we rally together on the promise. But many times, they'll be the first ones that'll discourage your own heart. You're already dealing with such a message from the doctor. You're facing this and that and the other, whatever it is. And then you've got to pack everybody else in the household because they're so devastated. Amen. Look, friends, don't look at things right here. Look at the end. If I had to look at things right here in front of me, I'd be a discouraged person. Brother Branham? But I never look here. I watch the end. Now, watch this little simple story. Not long ago, one of my managers, Mr. Baxter, many of you know him, I suppose, he was quoting a little story that I always like. It was about riding bicycles, and he was a Canadian, and they would ride bicycles, and they got pretty good, and they'd ride without holding the handlebars. So the Swin, I think, the Swin Bicycle Company, was going to give a prize to any boy in Vancouver that could ride a 12-inch plank 100 yards without falling off. Well, they got up there to ride these bicycles, and they had a little sissy boy. Well, he's just kind of like what we call, we rough fellas, you know, call him a mama's boy. And so we knew he couldn't ride it or wouldn't ride it. And when they all got on, everyone fell off. Oh, no. But the little sissy boy. And he rode out to the end, got off, won the bicycle. So all the boys got around him and said, "How did you do it?" He said, "I just said what the prophet said, plumb to the end." I say true to the word, plumb to the end. He said, "Fellas, I'll tell you what you did." Now, you can believe however you want. You can process the story however you want. Now, you can stand there and argue with these great big masculine boys. I'll win that bicycle. You guys might as well not even ride. Oh, don't tell me he's getting at it. He won't even get 10 foot down the board. Now that the story's already been won, the bicycle's won, the story's already been told, are you still going to rally around your denominational compadres and ask them how you ought to do it, or should you go to the man who won and find out from him? You're thinking about leaving the message. You might ought to ask people who knows what the people turn into once they do leave, instead of them blind ignoramuses that have left. Well, praise God. So what'd they do? At least they had enough sense to gather around the winner. Now notice this little sissy boy's analyzation of this. I'll tell you what you did. Said when you got on and they give you a push and you started off, you was watching like this. Now what they was doing, they got on, now they're on this 12-inch board, 100 yards long. I'll tell you, this is the long length of a football field. 12 inches wide. Every one of his predecessors made the same mistake. They all got on, they pushed them off, and their eyes automatically went down to the board. Every one of them, except for him. This is where you reach your greatest discouragements. You get up every morning. You go to getting your smartphone. Oh God, 10 people was killed yesterday. Oh Lord, a volcano here. Oh, there's death over here. The Democrats are doing this. The Republicans is doing this. There's turmoil everywhere. When are we going to get smart enough to turn that smartphone off? We read that trash and that nonsense and start our diet with negativity every day. We start our day with all these things. Why don't we read some positive things? Why don't we read some things about how God's going to prepare a place for us? Why don't we read some promises in God's word? And what do? We start out every day with our eyes right down on that 12-inch board thinking, Lord, have mercy. How can I make it 1 foot? How can I make it through this day? You won't do it by keeping your eyes on the board. You got to get your eyes at the end of the journey. You was watching like this, trying to keep yourself on the board. That's what made you get wiggly. That's why we got a bunch of wiggly Christians around the message. Isn't it amazing? A person can take a bicycle that is a sissy, unqualified by them, go the same board, the same length, the same difficulty, and never even faze them. Just raise their head and they're probably thinking, he'll never make it. Look at him. He's not even got his eyes on tribulation. He ain't even got his eyes on the trouble around him. He ain't even got his eyes on the doctor's report. That's what made you get wiggly and nervous and fall off. He said, I never looked down there. I watched the end and just kept my eyes on the end and rode steady right to the end. Notice how Brother Bam changes this. Now keep your eyes on the end. Jesus coming. Amen. The end, my brother, sister, is not the convention and roofs. The end is not the youth revival going here or there. The end is the coming of the Lord Jesus. No matter what people say about you now, how you're persecuted, all they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution, being made fun of and mocked and so forth. But watch what it will be at the end. That's where it'll pay off. Hold steady and keep your eye on the end. That'll be good for you. Let me close. And if you notice, it's when you are discouraged, that's when the devil can really pour it on you. That's when he gets you. If you come to the church and say, well, I don't know whether I'll ever get any better or not. I've been prayed for twice. Oh my. You might as well go home. Whew. Wow. But when you can cast that aside, everybody look this way, please. God don't want you to be for the people that can't see this, frowning. God wants you to be the human heart was made to be happy. Worry will cause cancer. Temper will cause cancer. Don't never be upset. Just walk in love. Lord, I need help. I said, Lord, I need help. Knowing that you're walking in him and nothing can harm you. There's nothing can harm you. There's neither powers, things present, things in the future. Nothing can separate us from him. We're in him and we never come in by our own will. He, glory to God, by choice elected us and brought us to him. You never come by your own choice. It was him who chose you. So it's his business to take care of what he's took. Himself. How many of y'all feel like you need to be more happy? Why don't we? We're looking at the plank. Sure, it's tough, friends. Sure. I've told you before, I get one problem solved in your life. Maybe you and your wife going through something terrible, and before yours is resolved, I'm already dealing with two more. And I get theirs done, I'm already dealing with more. Not just here in our church, around the world. Death, cancer, divorce, separation, all kinds of stuff going on. I'll tell you one thing, it takes the Spirit of God to keep a preacher happy. Because you deal with death and sorrow and heartbreak and disappointment, so much stuff every day of your life. But if it can't work in me, if it cannot be able to work in you in the time of trouble, we might as well quit serving God. But I'm going to tell you like Caleb of old, it can work. It will work. It does work. And it will work in a more powerful way if we will allow it to. Let's stand with our shotguns. Praise God. You love him. Let me see if I can get over here and read you something. Brother Cape, you're probably not going to be able to find it because it's going to be way over there for a bit. Page 25. Perseverance, Chicago. Brother Bam talking about the woman that came to Jesus. Syrophoenician with a daughter possessed of a devil. When she arrived at Jesus, Jesus said, he was not sent to her race. Oh my, another thing. He turned around and called her race of people nothing but a bunch of dogs. I'm sent only to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. That didn't stop her. She was still perseverant. And besides, it's not meat for me to take the children's bread and give it to you dogs. She was still perseverant. Oh, I like that. Still she held on. Amen, I like that. Hold on to it. She was perseverant. She was not a hotbed plant. Had to be babied. No, sir. Remember, she had no promise. Not one scripture. No prophecy. What, the Holy Ghost wasn't all over, just covering her up, and she could not even stand it. She had a need. Her need was so great. So if he does turn her down, so what? What have I got to lose? So if he says no, if he don't give me anything, what have I got to lose? I've got everything to gain if I can touch his heart. She was not a hybrid like a lot of our crop today. You didn't have to beg her and say, now, sister, I'll tell you, I would encourage you to go on. No, sir. There wasn't nobody there to encourage her. But even Jesus himself tried to discourage her. Lord have mercy. Is anybody in this building today kin to this woman? Well, the deacon looked at me cross-eyed. He might have had an eyelash in his eye when he looked at you. So-and-so got my parking spot. I come to church and there's some visitors from Arizona. They had my favorite spot in the church. I was so offended. And this woman, nobody encouraged her. Nobody petted her. Come on, sister, so she came to Jesus. Jesus said, get out! You're a dog, and your whole race is a bunch of dogs. Well, you imagine what the news would have done with that. And you imagine in her feelings, Brother Tom, as far as a human being, so, that kind of hurt me. That kind of hurt my feelings a little bit, but not enough to hinder me. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, it kind of hurt me a little bit. But she knew enough about the Greek language to know. When Jesus used the term dog, there was two words used for dogs. The word Jesus used was big dog. But she answered back and said, that's right. But the dogs, the other Greek word for dogs, which meant little dogs, poodle size. That's right. Not only am I a dog, I'm a little dog. Glory to God. You imagine, to be honest with you, I don't see how Jesus kept from dancing. I mean, just having a spell. He loves faith like this. Even Jesus himself tried to discourage her. Whew, glory. Now I feel like a holy roller. Sure enough, even Christ himself standing there trying to discourage her. But she held on. She had arrived at something, and she knew it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Where was her encouragement coming from? Within herself. What if he'd call you a dog, and your race a bunch of dogs? You bunch of Chicagoans, you bunch of Methodists, you Presbyterians. I wouldn't even send to you. You're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites anyhow. Whew. my, would stick up your nose up and turn out the door, see why you've never had faith to begin with. You're a hybrid, you're a hotbed plant that has to be sprayed all the time. Not her. No, something happened. Faith had anchored. She's not going to be defeated. Amen. There you are. No matter what the rest done, what the rest said, she's not going to be defeated. No, sir. Listen to this. Even Jesus himself couldn't. Lord God, children. How many things can our Jesus not do? He can create worlds. He can create universes. He can do all these things. But this is one thing he couldn't do. Glory to God. He couldn't discourage her. I believe there's some folks in this word around the world that have the same kind of faith. The preacher discouraging you, somebody at work discouraging you, ain't even got started yet. Oh, you said the devil's so discouraging me, you still ain't got started. Wait till you battle Jesus. Wait till you meet Jesus one on one, and it seems as if though he's after you. Instead of encouraging you, he says everything that seemingly drives you away, and you just smile and say, I'm still getting it. It's mine. I've got a need. I'm not wanting this to add to the lust of my flesh. I need healing. I need deliverance. My daughter needs heal. My husband needs this or that or the other. You ain't running me off, Jesus. You say, that's pretty heavy, Brother Donnie. I agree, it's pretty heavy. Follow with me. I didn't tell you I was done. I just told you to stand. We follow this man come out and said, what in the world happened to you? Who are you? My name is Jacob. What'd you do, fall? Sort of. I was actually in there scared last night. I was in there praying a prayer meeting with God, and God come down, whooped the fire out of me. Just to make a long story short. You've been wrestling with God, none other than God himself. Who was it? Jesus in a pre-theophanic form. He said, let me go. Jacob said, I ain't letting you go. I'm tired of being a stealer. I'm tired of being a thief. I need to be changed. Jesus said, oh, I got another one that won't let go. I've got another that I can't overwhelm. Oh, Lord God, children, don't you understand that's the real bride of Christ? Think of it. This woman didn't have the Holy Ghost. The Lord spoke that to me the other day, Carol, when I studied. I just reeled under that. I thought, how is it possible? This woman was not born again. And if Jesus couldn't run her off without a new birth, he's got some on his hands when he gets a hold of you. And so has hell got something on their hands when they get a hold of you. Because if Jesus can't run you off, the devil might as well run and hide. Amen. If Jesus himself, you meet him face to face and you say, I'm not leaving. When the devil comes up, you say, you gotta be kidding me. Where did she draw this from? No scriptures like Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He gave you the desires of your heart. That didn't apply to her. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will. Didn't apply to her. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. Didn't apply to her. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Didn't apply to her. Where did it come from? I feel like having Jesus spell that he didn't have 2,000 years ago. Praise God. I want to be. I'm going to be. I am that type of a Christian. Oh no, I ain't bragging on myself. Don't you get that in your head. I'm bragging on what my Lord Jesus is doing in me. Come on, some more of you just like it. You might as well be honest and say, that's a God's truth. I feel the same way. Brother Donnie's preached right at me, and it seemed like the Lord had him to hit me right on the head. It seemed like I was the only one in the service, but I was right back the next night. It kind of discouraged me, but I thought, what have I got to lose? I'm going back again. I went back again, and what happened? He hit me right slap between the eyes, but I thought, I ain't got nothing to lose. I remember what it was in the world. I'm going back again. And Jesus said, boy, I've got you on my hands, and I see right now I'm going to have to fix you. I'm going to have to change you and give you your request, because you ain't going to leave, are you? Let's stop before I have you seated and continue on. Oh, Jesus. Lord God, forgive us. No wonder Satan tries to hinder us, discourage us. He sees our potential. He knows what real sons and daughters of God will do if they ever come to their spot and can recognize their position. He knows he will be powerless before them. So he tries to discourage us, get us caught up in things of life. Just everyday things, just so busy. I'm so wrapped up with stuff. Oh God, help us, I pray. Help us to balance our life with God and things and people. We know when we love you, we'll have things and people in the right way. If we don't love you in the right way, we will find ourselves loving things and using people. But if we get our love and proper perspective for you, then we will find ourselves loving people and using things. And then we don't use people to get the things we want. We love people and lay our things aside. Our pride, our arrogance, our accomplishments of this and that and the other. We're not interested in using people to attain them, Lord. Oh God, I pray. Maybe it's little girls here today, Father. Maybe it's young men. Maybe it's older people. But I believe with all my heart there's somebody here in this place that you could say the same thing about them that you said about her. The prophet said she was on his hands. And I ain't leaving until you help me. I ain't asking for $1 million. I ain't asking for 3 or 4 Cadillacs. I ain't asking for a big new house and 4 or 5 pickups. I'm asking to be healed. I'm asking to be set free of this thing that's hindered me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Lord, I've prayed and I've been discouraged and I've prayed and I've been discouraged. But I realize after the word today, first of all, I need to take that shotgun and blow that fox right out from under my feet. Get rid of that thing. Throw that old carcass out of here. Praise God. And realize I have nothing to lose. So what if I attend church for 5 years? I don't shout. I don't dance. But every service I got a little wee bit. I'm much better off doing that than going down sitting at a bar getting souse drunk. Maybe go home and kill somebody and run off the road and kill myself. Praise God. Amen. David said I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God and enjoy the pleasures or dwell in the tents of the wicked. My, what an honor to come together, just shake hands with the saints of God. Rub shoulders with them. Hear the word preached. Be there where the presence of God fallen. Amen. That's a person that'll get something, Lord. We approach you like a Sears and Roebuck Harmony House or a JCPenney or some kind of fast internet order house. I want this, I want this, I want this, and I want to pick it up by 10 o'clock. We're doing like Walmart's doing with their groceries and Target and Food City. We sit down and order it. I want a can of mayonnaise. I want 3 jars of pickles. I want 2 things of pickled bologna, and I want to pick it up at 10 o'clock in the morning. Lord, I need this and this and this, and I'm going to church by 11. I want it by 11:40 or I'm leaving. We might as well not even come because of that attitude. We won't get it. But if we'll come and say, Lord, I ain't even worthy. I'd like to have this and I'd like to have that. But why don't you just send me what I need? Because you know what I need better than even I do myself. I think I need this and I think I need that. But it's proved by what I've made a mess out of my life. I don't even know what I need. I don't know what I even need to do. So why don't you just come and send me what I need, Lord? But I want you to know this. If I don't get it today, I'm coming back. And if I don't get it next week, I'm still coming back because I'm on your hands, Jesus. I ain't going to hell. I didn't come from hell. I ain't going back to hell. I'm on your hands. You ain't running me off, Lord. With all due respect, you ain't running me off. Praise God. Praise be to God. Is there any women, men, boys, girls with that kind of faith in this place today? Jesus, you ain't running me off. I'm here to stay until the bride leaves. And when she leaves, I'm leaving with her. You ain't leaving me behind on this world, Lord. I'm going in the rapture. You might as well just face it, Jesus. You're stuck with me for eternity. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're really that from the soul, he's glad to be stuck with you for eternity because you're his kind. You're the kind he came to buy, to redeem. Oh, praise God. Now, I want you to hold your needs, your requests in your heart. I am redeemed. I've been made free. I am redeemed. Hear that, devil? He set me free. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to hold your need in your heart. If you need to, just whisper it to the Lord. Because I want you to lay hands on that person standing by you as well. Oh, glory to God. You out on the internet, where you're in New Zealand, Iceland, Africa, Canada, Georgia, wherever you are. The same Holy Ghost that's here today is right there where you're streaming. Glory to God. Gravely family up in West Virginia streaming. Both of you needing healing in your body. May the same Holy Ghost come right there to where you are. As we're praying right here in Johnson City. Glory to God. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today, Lord, bringing our needs, our petitions. Oh, Lord God, we've not come to ask you for bigger businesses. We've not come to ask you for bigger barns so we can have better crops, so we can make more money. We've come to ask you for faith, healing, deliverance, salvation for our loved ones, baptism of the Holy Ghost, sanctification. We've come to ask you today for eternal things, Lord God. We bring our needs, our petitions. And with respect, we approach the throne of grace. And with all the respect that I know how to say to you, sir, I want to let you know I'm on your hands. Glory to God. When you saved me forever. Oh, blessed be the Lord God. Almost 50 years now, Lord God, since you saved me. It's just a 12-year-old boy. Oh, Jesus, all these years I've been preaching since just an 18-year-old kid. I didn't join just for a season. I didn't come till things got tough. I'm on your hands, Lord. I threw my veil over your shoulder, and you took my veil and said, I assume your responsibility to be my bride forever. Glory be to God. Lord, and I'm not alone standing here in this place today, but I believe there's others. Hallelujah. They are on your hands as well. They've got needs. They've got petitions. They've got requests. They've got desires. And maybe even some of them, Lord, they don't even know what they need. But they're bringing their situation to you. Heavenly Father, we come as that woman of old. Hallelujah. And we'd say again to you, sir, with all respect, you're not running us off. You're the only one we can come to. You're the only one we can trust. You're the only one we can totally rely on. You're the only one that won't let us down. You're the only one that can understand us. You're the only one that can move, oh God. In the name of Jesus, may the power of the Holy Ghost sweep across this place today, Father. I pray you would bring healing, Lord. I pray you would bring deliverance. I pray you would bring the baptism of the Holy Ghost. May the loosening power of God loose them from oppression. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, those on the internet, may you loose them from pornography addiction. May you loose them, Lord God, from all kinds of things of the flesh. May the Holy Spirit go right there, Lord, and touch them, Father. May they have that determination. They are not leaving until they have been changed. Lord God. Hallelujah. Now, Satan, I speak to you as a servant of God, called before the foundation of the world, ordained to be a part of the Lamb's bride, given authority to cast you out. Satan, in the name of Jesus, we do not meet you on our strength, our ability. We meet you, blessed be the Lord God, under the shadow of the blood, under the representation of his name. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, come away from these people. Hallelujah. You have been exposed today, you coward. You have been exposed. Oh, I know the prophet said it scares you when you get exposed. I imagine you're rattled to the bone today then, because you have been exposed. We see you as you are. Hallelujah. Leave God's children. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May fear leave. May oppression leave. May doubt, frustration, worry, may discouragement leave. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord Jesus. Sing it for us, Harry, while we worship. Come on, children. Let's worship. Remember when Matthew wrote this down about this woman when Jesus turned her down? The Bible says, then came she and worshiped him, saying. It didn't stop her praise because she got turned down. She found out praise was a key to deliverance. Then came she and worshiped him. Can it be said about you today? Then came Fred and worshiped him. Then came Rob and worshiped him. Then came Joe and worshiped him, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship him together, shall we? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts,
oh,
lived in my past.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Bound up,
yes, Lord,
in shackles of all my failures.
We've all been there,
wondering how long is this gonna
last. Listen now.
But then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight,
yes,
that's already been.
Lord God.
I am
blessed
redeemed.
Be the Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Can we just raise our hands and give him a worship offering? Thank you, Lord Jesus. A sacrifice of praise. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Then came we and worshiped you, saying, you are Adonai, the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. Hallelujah. You saved us. You called us. You sanctified us. You separated us to yourself. We are yours. We don't belong to the devil no more. We've been set free. We've been called. We've been justified. We've been resurrected. The prophet of God said, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the rapture is already in us. Then the quickening power is already there to change my body from mortal to immortal. The same power that quickens me every day to live right will be the final phase of the power that will quicken me to become a young man. Amen. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm sanctified. I'm called. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm on fire. Hallelujah. I'm not a Laodicean lukewarm. I'm bright. I'm called as him. I was in the mind of God before the world began. I will be when there is no more devil. When there is no more sickness, I still will be. I will be shouting down the streets of glory when the devil is cast into the lake of fire. When there is no more headache. When there is no more heartache. I will be enjoying eternity with my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
For you are great.
Oh, Jesus.
You do me.
Pray as we come to the close of this service today. May each of us be able to gather our portion and take it with us as we leave. O Lamb of God, we know you don't send your word for naught. You don't send your word, Lord, to tickle people's ears. But you send your word to change us, to help us, to encourage us, to correct us at times. So may we take our portion today. Maybe ruminate as sheep do. Feed upon it. Think about it. Apply it to our lives, Lord. May we be more determined than ever before. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us, Lord. Go with us now. Bring us back at the appointed time. Keep your hand on those that are traveling. Lord, several different families out on vacation, traveling here and there. We pray you'd watch over them, Lord. Bring them back safely, the visitors in our gates. May you bless them, Lord, in their journeys until one day we all will gather up at your house. Praise God. As we sit around your throne and we go to hearing and listening of the greatness of your being, I don't know what we'll remember as mortals. I don't know what we'll reminisce of things in this life. But I know that eternity will be filled with such wondrous things. For it will take eternity for us to keep understanding and perceiving your greatness. Go with us now, Lamb of God. May there not be a one of us missing at that great gathering, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
And many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Service Wednesday.
You were the Word in the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory and creation now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.